Okay, I've split my sermon into three parts this morning. A mountain to climb, crossing divides, and one in Christ. And hopefully we'll see how they all link together. The mountain to climb is what Justin Welby was talking about in the video. And I'll just give a couple of snippets which I highlighted, if you like, which particularly spoke to me. He said that reconciliation is the call on every human being. He talked about the gift of reconciliation that we receive overflows from us into the world around. We are to be the lavish givers of what we have received so lavishly. But, he went on, it's unbelievably expensive. It costs more than we can ever pay. It cost the life of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that will tie in a moment with one in Christ. And he said, forgiveness and reconciliation, what a mountain to climb. He talked about it being a process, not an event, and saying that it can be a lifetime's work. And he talked about the three habits, which if you're doing this in your house groups, you probably visited in the first session this week. He talked about, on the boards at the back there as well, there's some posters, about being curious, thinking about what is this person really like, because they too are made in God's image like me. So being curious about the other person, not just thinking the worst about them, but being curious about where they're coming from, thinking about where they are, where they're coming from, and being present, being engaged, focused, listening. He said if we're going to engage in healing conflict, we need to be present. We need to have, I was thinking, presence of mind. We talk about presence of mind, don't we? And the third one, reimagining, thinking what life would be like if only, sometimes we say, don't we, if only, we're thinking what something might be like, if only, we're reimagining what something might be like. Crossing Divides is the title which is given to session two for the, if you're meeting in the groups, in house groups or other Lent groups, that's the title which is given for this week's section. And I'm just going to give you a couple of things from the introduction, because obviously not everybody's doing the course. And even if you are, it's quite good just to have some little insights before we go into the next section. So this week is about God inviting us to see where difference or prejudice divide us from others and offers us opportunities to see them as he does, made in his image. Three key points the introduction makes. Sometimes the brokenness around us is the result of discomfort or prejudice inside us, beliefs and attitudes that we develop through our upbringing or possibly inherit through the society and culture around us. And these attitudes create walls that divide us from each other or from others. Secondly, Jesus's example challenges us to find out where assumptions and prejudice stop us engaging with others, and to realize that others too might have barriers that stop them engaging with us. And thirdly, Jesus also shows us that we can begin to overcome these barriers by making time and space for those on the other side and being curious about their story. We live in a world of divides, of course, categories and labels that not only distinguish but which separate us from one another. Healthy boundaries are essential in our relationships, but walls that we put up due to prejudice or assumptions can prevent us from asking those on the other side about their story. And this increases distrust and distance, and we stop questioning our own assumptions. My Bible commentary about verse 14, where it talks about the dividing wall of hostility, the barrier, if you like, says that there are many barriers that can divide us from other Christians, and it lists age, appearance, intelligence, political persuasion, economic status, race, theological perspective, and so on. And it says one of the best ways to stifle Christ's love is to associate with only those of a similar persuasion to us. Going back to the house group notes, we're reminded that differences can then become a cause of suspicion rather than curiosity. Some of these divides are of our own making, some we inherit. Consciously and unconsciously, we often surround ourselves with people who think like us, dividing the world into categories of, we talk about us and them, don't we? And of course, Jesus lived in exactly the same sort of world, didn't he? You think Roman citizens had rights that weren't afforded to anybody else at all. And within his own religious community, there were strict guidelines about who to meet and what to eat. Sharing a meal with non-Jews was not permitted. Jesus was continually engaging in encounters with those on the other side of all sorts of divides. He spent time with the most unlikely people, those whom society had already made up its mind about. As you'll see in your group when you listen to Sammy's story this week, which gives a powerful testimony and is a timely reminder, actually, of the current conflict in Israel and Palestine. It was probably recorded a couple of years ago, but it's a very poignant story. And you'll also be looking at the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. And actually, that story that you're going to look at is the longest conversation Jesus had with anybody in the Bible, the time that he spent sitting talking to this woman at the well. And as you look at the story together, you know, you need to think that the Jews and Samaritans completely distrusted one another. The historical hostility and continuing differences in belief and religious practice. So this was an extraordinary encounter that you'll be looking at this week between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. I won't say any more about it. I'll let you study it in your groups. So moving on to the third part, one in Christ, the passage which Carol read from Ephesians. It summarizes one of the greatest reconciliation stories of all time. It starts off describing what, if you like, could be called the Great Divide. It says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles in the flesh and called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision," and so on. "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Let's just pick out a phrase and some words from that. Separate from Christ, alienated, strangers, without hope, without God. Before Christ's coming, Jews and Gentiles alike simply kept apart from one another. Jews considered Gentiles to be beyond God's saving power and therefore without hope. Gentiles, understandably, resented the Jews and these claims. And both parties could be guilty of spiritual pride, Jews for thinking that their faith and traditions elevated them above everyone else, and Gentiles for trusting in their achievements, power, or position. Spiritual pride can sometimes blind us to our own faults, and it can magnify the faults of others. But Christ, of course, revealed the sinfulness of both Jews and Gentiles and he offered his salvation to both. I think the next four verses in this passage are simply astonishing. I will read them again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has torn down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and decrees. He did this to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace and reconciling both of them to God in one body through the cross, by which he extinguished their hostility. We need to break this down a bit. So verse 13, in Christ Jesus, the far away are brought near. Through the blood of Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, his blood shed for us to draw us near to him. Verse 14, Christ is our peace. He himself is our peace. We're thinking, as we looked last week, blessed are the peacemakers. Christ is our peace. He has made the two one. He has torn down the dividing wall of hostility. He has crossed the divide on our behalf. He's done this by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and decrees so that we are set free. He created in himself one new man out of the two. I find this mind-blowing. It's a vastly deeper and more complex picture of Christian unity than that which we sometimes portray in our rather oversimplified human thinking. It's this creation in Christ of one new man that Jesus references in his extraordinary prayer in John 17. He prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we are one, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. Last time I referenced these verses, Megan went home and created this on her computer, which I thought was just, and it's on the back of our version of, existing version of Share in Prayer. We put it on the back. We are united in Christ. All of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. We are united in Christ. The Ephesians passage goes further in verse 15 and 16. By Jesus creating in himself one new man out of two, there follows peace and reconciliation. This is Jesus' doing, not man's. We can strive as hard as we like to bring peace and reconciliation, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But in the end, what matters most and what will have the most impact on the world is our oneness with Christ. Verse 16 explains that Jesus reconciled both parties to God in one body through the cross, and this is what extinguished their hostility. Just picture in your mind two opposing people or two groups of people on different sides of the divide stumbling upon the crucifixion scene and seeing the body of Jesus dying on the cross, and imagine their hostility just evaporating as they consider what this man is going through on their behalf. The complete reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles, two hostile crowds, is brought about in and through one body on the cross. Their hostility is extinguished. It's put out. It's gone. Paul writes to the Galatians, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Just as an aside, apparently the "nor is there male and female" bit is there because some Jewish males apparently greeted each other, greeted each new day by praying, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman." Jesus extinguished this mindset. And the final verses of chapter of Ephesians 2 summarize and re-emphasize Paul's teaching on our oneness in Christ. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household, Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. And I love that picture of the whole building being joined together and rising up to become a holy temple in the Lord. Jesus declared these words in John chapter 12, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Joined together, rising up to become a holy temple in the Lord, all people being drawn to Jesus. I'm not surprised that Justin Welby focused on the costliness of true reconciliation. Jesus' body broken for us and his blood shed for us. Reconciliation, Justin Welby said, is unbelievably expensive. It costs more than we can ever pay. It costs the life of Jesus Christ on the cross, his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. He did this to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace and reconciling both of them to God in one body through the cross, by which he extinguished their hostility. I want to close by highlighting a question that you will come across in the next four sessions of your group studies in the participant guide on the difference course. It's not asked in the first session, which you've done, but in the next four sessions, when you've read the Bible passage together, four different Bible passages over the next 4 weeks, when you've read them together, the first question that is asked is, what do you learn about Jesus in this story? And that has got to be the key question each week. What do you learn about Jesus in this story? Because it draws our attention to Jesus. And Jesus is the answer to all our questions about reconciliation. Jesus is the one who brings us back together. Jesus is the one who brings reconciliation through his body broken for us and through his blood shed for us on the cross. I, when I am lifted up, he said, will draw all men unto me. And in that verse in Ephesians, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. I think that's amazing. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are an amazing God. Thank you that Jesus is amazing. Thank you for what he did on the cross. Thank you that we are reconciled to you and to Jesus through what Jesus did on the cross. And thank you that we can be reconciled to one another through Jesus. So as we continue with this course, as we go out from here this morning, we pray that we might continue to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.